You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
There's this great museum in Chicago, the Museum of Science and Industry, and I happened to go there, and this is kind of where the story was born from. I went there on a visit, and there is a plane, like an actual biplane, hanging from the ceiling inside the museum. And so that really fascinated me, you know, because I, of course, the first thing I think is, like, how do they get the plane in here? All this crazy stuff. So I ran up the stairs to look at the display, and what I didn't realize until I got closer to the display is there was actually a female mannequin hanging off the display.
Welcome to the True Fiction Project, a podcast series that explores the origins of fiction. Every week, we begin with an interview, nonfiction, followed by a creative piece, fiction, inspired by something from the interview. The idea is to demonstrate, of course, that fiction is born out of our life experiences. Now, here's your host, storyteller, author, public speaker, health and wellness expert, Renita Hora.
Welcome back to the True Fiction Project. I am your host, Renita Hora. And on today's episode, we have another storyteller. Her name is Amy True. She has been writing historical fiction novels under the name Amy Trueblood. So we'll talk to her about that. But we will then segue into her most recent project, which is adult romance, a book called Meet Me in Ivy Falls. And that she is publishing under her name, Amy True. Hi, Amy. Welcome to the True Fiction Project.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Great to have you on the show. And I have to say, Amy Trueblood versus Amy True. What is the truth?
Well, it's Trueblood is a family name. And because of, like, obviously, if anybody watches HBO, everybody knows about Trueblood and all that kind of stuff. So that was always a fun name to have because it was crazy when the show was on. Anyways, so Amy Trueblood is what I write under when I write historical fiction. And then when I was talking to my agent about this adult romance project I had, we decided on the name Amy True. And Meet Me in Ivy Falls, which comes out in US paperback on June 25th. And then it's available in ebook and UK paperback on July 4th. It is the first book in a 3-book series. So I'm going to introduce readers to Ivy Falls in the first book, and then we're going to have companion novels that follow two other couples in town through the series. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
That is going to be a lot of fun and sounds like it's been a lot of work. So I have a lot of questions.
Sure.
Let's talk about Trueblood first and your work under the name Amy Trueblood, the historical fiction novels.
Yes. Yeah. They're both historical fiction. And my thing has always been with historical fiction, and even the character of Torin in Meet Me in Ivy Falls, I really tend to write really ambitious, really fierce women who don't really necessarily fall into like a what would be considered, and I don't like this word a lot, but quote unquote, like the traditional female role. My first two characters in my historical books, in Nothing But Sky, the 18-year-old female character, her name is Grace, and she's a wing walker in 1922. So basically, she hangs off planes for a living. She's like a daredevil. And so very great life, adventurous life. And it was based off of real women who did this for a living in 1922. So that was really fun to research. And my second book is called Across a Broken Shore, and it follows a young woman by the name of Willa, and she is the youngest in a big Irish Catholic family, and she's expected to be a nun, but one of her older brothers, she has four older brothers, has an accident, and she comes to find out that there is a female physician practicing in her neighborhood. And so she secretly sneaks out during the week and apprentices with this female physician. And it just so happens that the female physician is helping to take care of men building the Golden Gate Bridge. So it's fun to really weave Willa's story and her changing life and her growth as the bridge is actually growing too. So it's kind of this nice little synergy with her story and the building of the bridge, and a lot of research, but a lot of fun.
So this is incredible because your female protagonists in both of these books, were they real people or were they based upon real people?
Inspired by real people. So Lillian Boyer was an actual female daredevil wing walker in the early 1920s. And so she really was like the one. And just a quick backstory on that. There's this great museum in Chicago, the Museum of Science and Industry. And I happened to go there. And this is kind of where the story was born from. I went there on a visit and there is a plane, like an actual biplane hanging from the ceiling inside the museum. And so that really fascinated me, you know, because I, of course, the first thing I think is, like, how do they get the plane in here? All this crazy stuff. So I ran up the stairs to look at the display. And what I didn't realize until I got closer to the display is there was actually a female mannequin hanging off the display.
Oh, my goodness.
And on like the stanchion off to the side was a little plaque and it said the name Ethel Dare. And then, of course, I was totally intrigued. What a cool name. So I started reading and she was actually a female wing walker. She actually flew these planes with the pilots and then they'd get 500 feet in the air and then she would climb out onto the wing and do stunts. Lillian Boyer was the same way. So there was this group of women during that time period who did this. And oddly enough and coolly enough, all these women lived to have really long lives, even though they were hanging off planes at 500 feet above the air without a parachute. So it's very
maybe
dangerous.
That's what it takes.
Yeah. So, but all these women were just very fascinating. And so as a writer, as a storyteller, I read that plaque about Ethel Dare and immediately my writer brain was engaged. And I was like, oh my God, there's a story here. And what if, and what if, and what if, which is what we always ask ourselves as writers. And so that night, we went back to the hotel. It was like 12 o'clock in the morning. Everybody was asleep. And I had my laptop open. And I was just watching and watching and watching. And luckily enough, there were black and white, like actual camera film of these women doing these stunts. Like you can actually find it on YouTube. So I had all of this sort of great first primary source to go to when I was actually writing the scenes and all that kind of stuff. And the same thing holds true for Willa in Across the Broken Shore. She's actually inspired by a real woman, the first woman to get her medical license west of the Rockies. And she was actually the first person to start the Women and Children's Hospital in San Francisco. And so she was a real inspiration for the character, the mentor character in Across a Broken Shore. So real life kind of inspiring these stories. It's super fascinating because just like Lillian, Dr. Wanzer, who's the name of the woman, literally like it was pulling teeth trying to find information about her. Most information I got about her, I found from a paper that an alumni from where she went to college actually wrote about her. So these women had extraordinary lives, but there's not a lot of primary source material about these women. So that just like made the fire burn inside me even more to want to tell these inspirational stories of these women. And then, of course, when I write my author's note in my books, I talk about them and it just to draw attention to these real life people, these real life women who really don't get the attention they deserve.
Get the attention. So because there was not a whole lot of primary source material, was that your reason to make this historical fiction as opposed to history?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think that for me, I mean, I'm just a storyteller by nature, and I just always find inspiration from real stories, from real people. And then I think, okay, how can I immortalize sort of in this new character all these great strengths and all these admirable qualities in these women? And then it's always fun for me. Like, I remember when I wrote the author's note and the bibliography for Across a Broken Shore, my editor was like, "Hey, there's a lot here." And I was like, "I know, but I want to share all these sources and I want to share as much as I can." I think my author's note is actually longer than my acknowledgments. I just really wanted people to know these stories about these women. So I had to rein it in a little bit.
Absolutely. Now, everything that you're saying is music to my ears. I also write historical fiction. I've got a new historical fiction book coming out in a few weeks after yours, in the middle of July. So it makes complete sense. Everything that you're saying.
You're and feeling also, me.
Yeah, that. Strong female characters. Yeah. Because who doesn't love those? You and I certainly do, and so do our audiences. So tell me how and why you then decided to make the decision to segue into adult romance.
Yeah, it's a kind of an interesting turn, but it actually will make sense. So as you well know, writing historical fiction is a massive undertaking because you're not only writing the story, but you have to get your facts straight. You don't want to have all these anachronisms. You want to make sure that what you're putting on the page, you know, is real and honest and is factual. And so I spend a lot of time like down rabbit holes doing research and things like that. And so after I wrote Across a Broken Shore, I was playing with a bunch of different projects and I thought, I just need like a palate cleanser book. I just need something fun to write, something to sort of get out of my historical head. And so I started watching a lot of like HGTV and all this kind of stuff. And this story came to me about this female contractor, but her focus was that she wanted to save and restore historical homes. So then as that kind of idea bloomed, I started thinking about like, oh, well, what if she lived in this small town and the small town was not doing well and she was trying to save the houses? And so it sort of just built up from there. And really, I just sort of wrote it as something for me to just kind of have fun with. And then it just over the years, every time I would write something, I would sort of go back to this book and I would be like, oh, this is my fun book. I just need to write something for fun. And then when I was talking to my agent's like, hey, why don't you just send me that book? And I was like, oh, this is so different than anything I've ever written. And she's like, just send it to me. So I sent it to her like on a Friday and I had, my agent actually is in London and I had an email from her like when I woke up Monday morning that was like, call me. So I called her and she's like, this is going to be your next book. So then we sort of like planned it from there. She's like, I want to go to Ivy Falls. So it's a change for me and a turn for me, but it's been so good for me because after I finished this book and it went on sub, I went back to historical. So once I went back to historical and that book's on sub now, that book that I wrote after this. So it really helped like clear my head a little bit. It helped bring back my passion for writing historical. And that book is so much better for it. Because I think if I would have gone from writing Across a Broken Shore to another historical book, I wouldn't have had the passion for it. And I wouldn't have had just like been eager to get back to the historical sort of sphere. So it was really helpful for me. And my big thing is like everything has a time and a place. And so I really felt like I was meant to write Meet Me in Ivy Falls so that I could go back and write my adult historical book that's now on sub. So it's just funny how things work out that way. But, you know, you have to do one thing in order for another thing to make sense.
Yeah, complete karmic journey. Well, I cannot wait to listen to your excerpt. But before we go there, real quick, I would love to hear a little bit more about what is Ivy Falls. And I know that you really write strong sibling relationships that are inspired by your own. So give us a little bit about that.
So I am the youngest of five and we have a long age range. Like my oldest brother was 13 when I was born. So we have a long age range, but we're also very, very close. We've also had all these incredible experiences and things together. And so I always find myself writing these really incredibly strong sibling relationships because that's a big foundation of who I am as a person. So when I started writing Ivy Falls, which is actually based on a little town outside of Nashville that I just fell in love with. And so I had always wanted to write a fictional kind of town that was based on Franklin, Tennessee, which is the town that I was mentioning. And I started writing this and I was like, oh my gosh, this is coming alive for me. This is this cute little quirky little town. It very much has, for your listeners out there, it very much has a Gilmore Girls vibe. There's a lot of quirky characters. There's a lot of cute little independent shops where everybody goes. And the sibling relationship came because my main character is sort of a hot mess. And so she's in a really tumultuous time in her life. And her younger sister is the sister that sort of grounds her. Now, she has her own issues and problems, too. But we have one sister who's sort of a hot mess and one sister who's very like a mellow soul. So they very much sort of balance each other out. And I actually have two sisters and we all kind of balance each other out the same way. Sometimes we get a little crazy and we need another one to calm us down. So a lot of what happens between my main character, who's named Torin, and her younger sister, Tessa, is sort of based off that idea of like, only a sibling can know you so well, but only a sibling knows when you're struggling and can say to you and look at you and be like, hey, it's going to be okay. I'm here. And in fact, the two sisters in the book, they have this little through line in the story, which is they look at each other and they say, what's your number? And on a scale from 1 to 10, they're supposed to say how they're dealing with their lives, 1 being the lowest and 10 being the greatest. And so there's this little through line in the book where they kind of just have these moments where they look at each other and they ask each other their numbers. And it's their sort of their sweet little check-in with each other to be able to say, hey, I'm here. I see you. If you're struggling, you let me know and I'm going to catch you when you fall. So it's a really great way to not only introduce your readers to your characters, but it is also a great way to show vulnerability, because sometimes when you're with friends or whatever, you always are afraid maybe sometimes to show your vulnerability, but these are your blood relatives, these are your siblings, they've seen you through good and bad. And so I feel like when you write sibling characters, the same thing is true.
Fantastic. Well, I think sibling relationships are so important, and I'm so glad to hear that you're writing about them, because as wonderful as your story is, there are so many I know that fall apart, especially in adulthood. So I think it's the one kind of relationship that really, really needs to be focused on in general by everyone. And I am very jealous of you and anyone who has sisters. I've never had a sister, older or younger. My mother never had a sister. My daughter doesn't have a sister. I don't know. What is that, like a curse that runs through our family, or what? I don't know. So I am dying to hear your opening about these two sisters. Maybe the opening's not about, I don't know. Anyway, give it to us.
I'm maybe not going to get there to the sister part quite yet. My hot mess has to make her entrance first and then.
Okay, that's important. Yes, hot mess always has to make their entrance. Amy, thank you so much. When does the book come out?
The US paperback comes out June 25th. It will be available in ebook and UK paperback on July 4th. And for more information, you can check out my website, amytrueauthor.com. And then you can also find me on social media. I'm on Instagram and TikTok and Threads at @atruebooks.
Fantastic. And of course, we are going to have all of that in our show notes. And do follow us on the True Fiction Project. I cannot wait to listen to how this episode turns out. Amy, thank you so much for joining us today on the True Fiction Project. Good luck with the book.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
That was Amy True, a writer of historical fiction and now adult romance, talking about her upcoming book, Meet Me in Ivy Falls. And I am your host, Renita Hora.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now to the premise of the True Fiction Project, which of course is to create fiction out of nonfiction.
Torin, another link in the gossip chain. With the chime of the clock tower ringing in my ears, I raced across the wide lawn in front of Town Hall, dodging kids playing freeze tag and mothers swapping local gossip. 2 more chimes. 3 o'clock. Chit, chit, chit. Being late was sort of my signature move. No matter how early I set my alarm, planned out my day, I was always about 10 minutes behind. My mom claimed it was because I was always lost in my own world, dreaming up designs for beautiful houses with big red doors and backyards large enough for family barbecues. I thought I was being creative. Everyone else thought I was being rude. Mom never pushed me on it because she said, even in the womb, I was taking my own sweet time, showing up 2 days past my due date. God, I missed her. Sometimes the grief was so powerful, I wasn't sure I could get out of bed, but I'd let enough people down in my life and I had to push forward. The scent of fresh cream and milk chocolate spilled out of the dairy dip as I raced past its wide glass doors facing the center of the square. My steel-toed boots pounded against the uneven brick sidewalk as I picked up my speed. A thin sheen of sawdust and colorful drops of paint covered the toes. Each mark a thrilling memory of the jobs I'd worked on. My younger sister Tessa groaned every time I wore them. I didn't care. They gave me confidence, and on a day like today, when the future of my business hung in the balance, I'd take all the positive I could get. I kept my gaze forward, trying not to make eye contact with old Mrs. Vanderpool, who stood outside Ginny's candle shop. Her teacup Yorkie baby, who was dressed in a red and green Gucci sweater, barked at me. As I passed by, she whispered out a curse that was just loud enough for me to hear. Not today. Not today. A few kids zipped past me on their scooters, and I was grateful for their smiles. At least there were a few people in this town who didn't hate me. My phone buzzed in the front pocket of my overalls. I was sure it was another text from my partner, Manny, fuming that I wasn't on time. Again. A car pulled through the only downtown stoplight. Once it passed, I rushed through the crosswalk, the bubble of the limestone fountain buzzing in my ears. Every inch of Ivy Falls held a vivid memory for me. Skinned knees on brick paths as I learned to ride a bike, the warmth of my mother's hand as she led me to Val's Bakery to buy fresh bread, even the heated thrill of my first kiss, which happened in the tree-lined alley behind the Sugar Rush Cafe. My phone buzzed again, and this time I started to sprint. When I reached the far corner, I stopped in front of my destination, Ivy Falls Community Bank. "Open an account with us. It makes sense," was written on the stark white sign planted outside the two-story brick building my dad owned. Since my father became mayor, he'd started a contest called The Sign Says It All, encouraging local businesses to be clever with their signage. It was meant to build community spirit, encourage tourism, but all it did was add to the fiery competition between the store owners who were always trying to one-up each other. If my father's staff thought this saying was going to earn them a win, they were in for a disappointment. The scent of freshly waxed linoleum and old copper pennies hit me when I yanked open the wooden door. A few customers lingered in the teller line. When their stares landed on me, I looked away. I should be used to the angry glares by now, the way most people in town treated me like I was the walking plague. More than once, my mom's voice rang in my head, telling me to be the bigger person. But it was hard when practically every resident of Ivy Falls saw me as the local pariah. Should I have cursed out the town while on camera? Probably not. But when your heart was breaking, it did a lot of stupid things. With my head tucked down, I made my way toward the corner of the wide square room. I was only steps from Isabel, the bank manager's desk, when Amos Tucker locked eyes on me. From the time I was five, my dad's best friend and assistant would squat down next to me and ask about school. What kind of trouble I'd gotten into lately. In his regular uniform, a white button down, khaki pants, and bright red suspenders, Amos would plop me onto his desk chair with the squeaky wheels and spin me in a circle. My giggles filled the room until my father scolded us for our behavior. Amos would wait until my father shut his office door and then spin me a couple times more. Even now, 22 years after that first spin, he still had a mischievous sparkle in his eyes. He was one of the few people in Ivy Falls who didn't want me to burst into flames every time he saw me.
Here at the True Fiction Project, we're always looking for great stories that make for compelling fiction. So if you have a great story or know someone who does, or if you're a writer who'd like to be featured on the show, then please do get in touch with us at runita.com/contact. And if you haven't signed up for our newsletter, then you can do so by visiting substack.com/@Renita Hora, all spelled out one word. That's substack.com/@RENITAHORA. I'll be offering paid subscribers something a little extra special each time, including a video version of this podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.